It's going to be a great day because Old Paths Quartet's here tonight, and this is not just a sales job. This is, man, these guys are phenomenal. They are, we've had groups like Ernie Haas and Signature Sound and Gold City. They've been here. These guys are right up there on that level, and they're amazing. And if you like Southern Gospel Quartet music, you're going to love it tonight. If you don't like Southern Gospel Quartet music, I'll see you next week. But more importantly, it's going to be a great day because I get to start the day off with you all. My family, my church family. And we're starting a brand new series today that we are calling I Love ECCC. And this is a spinoff. Maybe some of you have seen this before. It's called I Love My Church. We're doing our own thing with this. That was a national campaign several years ago, and this is kind of a take on that. But this is important stuff for us to be talking about today and in the coming weeks. And there's a couple reasons why I think it's important. Number one is we are in the midst of what I know is the biggest change that we've made in our church in the 15 years that I've been here. Now, the first year that I was here, we went from one services to two, and that was a big change. This is the biggest change we've made since that. And you know, we need to understand that we need to stay focused on our love for one another, our love for the church, and be reminded that because we are all whiter than snow, that we're washed in the blood of Jesus, we're all on the same team, and we all love one another, and we love this church, we love what the Lord has done for us. There's another reason why I think we need to do it, and this is outside of the walls of the church, but how many of you are in an environment every day where maybe there's some things that take place that you're just not 100% like, oh, I just love that, like maybe some griping or maybe some negativity that surrounds you every single day of your life. Has anybody got that in your life? If not, I want to hang out with you for a day because it's just how people are. And so we need to be reminded that even people who are Christians that don't necessarily go to church here, we need to be reminded that they're family members as well, and that we need to love people even if they're not having the best day, even if they're a little bit discouraged. Even if they're a little bit negative, we need to be loving one another instead of taking it out on one another. Because honestly, we need to remember this. Our struggle is not against other people. Kendall and I have had this conversation a lot lately. Our struggle is not against, if I got an issue with you, Haley, it's my issue isn't with you. It's Satan trying to work in people's lives to get them off track. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward in this series. And to start it off, I want to do something that I think's maybe going to help us kind of put it in context. I'm going to put some pictures on the screen for you, and actually John's going to do that, but I've given him the pictures. And these are pictures of different places, different locations, different buildings that we have to visit in life. And when I say we have to visit them in life, it's not like, oh, you have to go there. It's just great. I'm talking about, oh, I have to go there. And so these are different places that we might not really want to visit, but we need to go to just because of the course of life. And they're going to invoke a variety of responses. And here's what I want you to do. I'm going to put a picture on the screen, and I want you to say the first thing that pops into your mind. This is dangerous, isn't it? Say the first thing that pops into your mind. So let's start with image number one. John, throw that up there. It's not a word, okay? Somebody give me one word. Expensive. License. What else? Waiting forever. Okay. All right. Not a lot of positive feedback there for the old BMV. Let's put the second picture up there. Ouch. What? Expensive. Okay, we're seeing a trend here. Over on this side, what's it? Pain. Okay. Really no good responses. This one could get mixed reviews. Put this one up here. I'll be honest, that one there, I still to this day get what's called yellow fever when I think about school, you know what yellow fever is? That's the fear of the school bus. And you just kind of break out in, you know, in this cold sweat, and you really just don't want to go. But that's kind of me. How about this fourth image? Okay, we know expensive. We don't have to say that one. Can you get in and out of there without spending $50? Who can do that? Nobody. Okay, well, yeah, Richard and Judy, I know you can. I know. That's a yes. That's a no-brainer. What else? What's another word?
Crazy.
Yeah. Especially, you know, I'm kind of like Tim Hawkins, who said that, like, if you go to Walmart at night, it's like a barroom scene in Star Wars. You know, you know what I'm talking about? You're kind of going through there. It's a little bit crazy. What else? Don't shop there. Okay, that's more than one word. That don't count. One more word. What's that? Stressful. Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, we get stressed out because they don't have any checkout lanes open, but then they give you the self-checkout, and that's stressful. So we really don't know what to do there. Look, think about the words that we've mentioned. All right, we've heard expensive, obviously, and stressful, and painful, and all these sorts of things. Not one person said, I love that. You know, I just love to go to the... Well, there's one person that loves to go to the dentist that I know. I won't mention her name, but she'll be a Bridgewater soon. there's some people that may say, like, I love my grocery store. Not necessarily like they love to go there, but they might say something like, well, this grocery store compared to this one, I love it, or whatever the case may be. Or the same might be true for the doctor's office. I love my doctor. I don't really like to go there, but if I have to go, that's the one that I really like. I wonder what people would say about this next. Now, don't say a word. Just keep it in your brain. Don't blurt anything out on this next picture. Go ahead, John, put it up there. Think about it honestly. Do you think about church the same way that you think about going to the BMV? Sure is quiet in here. The doctor's office, the grocery store. Is it just a place that you just have to go to? Is something you feel like, man, I just have to do because it's something I got to check off of my spiritual to-do list. Think about the people who aren't with us today, the people that no longer go to this church for whatever reason. Maybe they haven't been in a long time. Maybe they haven't been to church ever. People in the third chair that we've talked about often here. Think about them for a moment. I'd be willing to guess that they view going to church kind of like they view going to the BMV. Don't really want to go, but if I call myself a Christian, I feel like I ought to. You know? And based on maybe some of the experiences they've had in church, it might not be a whole lot better than the BMV. Because there are some things that can happen in the church. There are things that have happened down through the years that are, it's hard sometimes. But the Bible says that we are to love the church. Now, why should we love the church? Because God loves the church. You know? Now, that doesn't mean that we love everything, every single thing that happens. There's things that are going to happen. Sometimes it's going to disappoint you because it's full of people. It's full of sinful people that's going to maybe make decisions that aren't popular, or you're going to do some things that kind of let you down. We read about things that happen in the news among church people. But we need to love the church not as the church is sometimes, but we need to love the church as God intended the church to be. Because here's what God did. God loves the church so much that He was willing to send His one and only Son to die for the church. So if I say I love God or I love Jesus, but then we don't say I love the church or I love ECCC, I love Jesus, I just don't love the church, I'm just having a hard time with the church. You know, that seems like a disconnect. That seems like some inconsistency. And so that's what this series is going to be about, that we would be more of, and not that we aren't, but we're growing. No matter where we're at, we can improve, we can do better, that we would become the community of believers that God is asking us to be, the community of believers that God has created us to be. But before we jump into this, I just want to pause for a quick word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this church. And Lord, I pray that by the end of maybe today, at least the end of this series, that you would speak to us, you'd speak to our hearts from your word, Lord, that we would, no matter where we're at in our love for the church, that you would just take it to a completely new level, that we would love one another the way you have asked us to love one another. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 34 and 35. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can follow along on the screen. Again, that's John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And I think, I wasn't planning to do this, but I think it would be good for us to read this out loud together. Okay? So let's read this together from the screen or from your Bible out loud. Now, I've got the NIV. So if you've got something other than the NIV, you might want to read from the screen. Okay, here we go. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now this verse is a prelude to the church that is going to come, okay? We know that the church in the book of Acts started on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Peter stood up and preached, and he said, "This Jesus whom you crucified, he was the Son of God, he's the Messiah, and you guys killed him." And the Bible says when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said, "Peter, what should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And the Bible says 3,000 people made the decision that day, and they were added to the church. And it started on that day. And as we've talked about before, not a single generation has got skipped down through the years all the way to us. But before that ever happened, Jesus is meeting with his disciples. And during this meeting, he's telling his followers, this is how you should be known throughout your communities. This is the reputation that I want you to have. When people look at the church, when people look at Christians, this is how I want them to know that you are one of mine. Church people are meant to love one another. It's not optional. It's a command. We are to love one another. But what does that mean, to love one another? You know, when we say we want to love the church the way that God loved the church, what do we mean by love? This past Tuesday, we took a group of seniors to the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro in the thriving metropolis of Brazil, Indiana. And we had a wonderful lunch. Now, I'll tell you, I still like to eat. I know some of you have questioned that lately, but I love to eat. And we ate Tuesday to start off with. We had a nice salad, and the strawberries were sliced real thin, and had this dressing that was made out of the honey from the bees that they raise on their bee. Is it a bee farm? I don't even know. I don't even know what it's called. And so we had that, and it was great. And then we followed that up with, I had the chicken pot pie for a couple of reasons. I love chicken pot pie. And then I don't know if you remember, I preached not too long ago on chicken pot pie faith. Okay, all right. A couple of you remember that. And it was amazing. How many of you had the pot pie? Who's with me on that? Good stuff? Okay, and then I look at the Italian beef sandwich that other people had. Those were our two options that day. And that looked amazing. Was it amazing? It was good. Not amazing, just good. Okay, all right, that's all right. That's good. It was an incredible lunch. And then to top it all off, Thanks to a generous church member, the bus drivers ate for free. I guess they thought we were at McDonald's. The bus drivers ate for free. Thank you, Carolyn. Kendall and I both appreciate that. I know you didn't do that for any recognition, but we thank you for paying for our lunch. It was the first time I'd ever been to the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro, and I loved it. I love the restaurant. Okay? I'm going to go back. And I love it. But I feel like we sometimes love the church like we love a restaurant. You know, as long as everything's good, as long as I like what they're feeding me, as long as I like what's happening, I'll go back. First time I don't really like it, I'm going to another restaurant. You know, sometimes that's how we treat the church. God has blessed me, with an awesome, awesome family. And, you know, it's my love for them is not based on what they can do for me. Like the restaurant, if I like the restaurant, I can go on Facebook. I even did that and give a good review. I can go Google review and say, you know, I give it 5 stars. I'll be back. They treated this wonderful. You can give it that kind of review. And I did that. You know, if it was the opposite type of experience, I could get on there and I could just rip the restaurant apart and say I didn't like it and give it 1 star or whatever the case may be. But with my family, I experience a relationship with them. They are people that I am intrinsically connected with. My love for them is based not on anything that I'm receiving or experience, but it's based on who they are and what is involved in our relationship. If Stacy irritates me one day, not that that ever happens, but if that were to ever happen, I'm not going to go on Google and write a review of what Stacy has done. That would be a really bad move, right? Thank you. Yeah, okay. All right. Guys, take note of that for anybody that's considering something like that. Don't do it, you know? And so here's what I'm getting at. You don't Google review your family. You just love them. The church was never meant to be like a restaurant where you go as long as you like what's happening. It's meant to be like a family where you stick together and you love one another, whether you love everything about what's happening or not. And Jesus loves us. He loves us so much. Earlier in the book of John, we're told, chapter 3, for God so loved the world, what'd He do? He gave His only Son that whoever believes in Him could have eternal life. You know, they'd never die. When we're brought into that relationship, we aren't just brought into a relationship with Jesus. We are brought into a relationship with one another. Whether you like it or not, I'm your brother. I'm sorry. You know? Thank you. Thank you. Who was that? Come on up. You can get this now. That is really good stuff. You know? Being in a relationship with Jesus does that. You know, it's not a situation where I love as I see fit. I love with whatever I'm comfortable with. I love for my own gain or for my own enjoyment. Church isn't supposed to be like that. You go to a restaurant for that, that's okay. You know, you experience a love for the church when you intentionally love the church. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about one another. You'll have a deep sense of love for the church when you actively and intentionally practice love for the church. The opposite is also true. When you don't intentionally love the church, you're not going to experience a love for the church. Does that make sense? No? We will start to love the church the way Jesus loves the church when we start to see the church in terms of relationships. honestly, you know, down through the years, I think there has been a danger of this that, again, you know, we've talked about this before, where we become so insider-focused and we forget about the fact that there are so many people outside of the church that aren't here yet. We become so insider-focused that we think that the church is about us. It's not. The church is not about us. The church is about Him, and when we love Him and we start to see others as just as important as what we think we are, that's when some amazing things start to happen in the church, and there's some ways we can do this. The first is this: we love by connecting. We connect with one another. This is why I love the one service, all being together, all being unified, connecting one another, having a little bit more interaction with people that you wouldn't normally have interaction with in the church, and you have this community, and you have this fellowship, and you're in this relationship with each other, and it's more than just knowing people names, and it's more than just knowing where they sit every Sunday morning. We love one another because we stand alongside one another. We're connected with one another. We're a church that should be all about no one standing alone. No matter what somebody might be going through, we should go through it together. You know, the Bible talks about where the joys are shared and the sorrows are shared. These are things that we go through together. And so we love by becoming this community of believers, by getting connected. Man, it was so great. How many of you did Guess Who's Coming to Dinner last night? We had a blast. We laughed. It was so great to connect with people that I don't always get to connect with on that level. And I've heard from other groups that I know had a great time as well. A lot of laughter. I understand there's going to be a fundraiser next year during Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and the highest bidder gets Sue Eckroat to come. I don't know. You know, that's just what I hear. That's the word on the street. But what an amazing time. We also love by serving. God has given each of His followers a special gift. He's given each of us abilities to encourage one another, to help one another. Did you know that you have superpowers? The Bible talks about that. The Holy Spirit has empowered you to do certain things that some other people just cannot do. He's gifted you in areas that not everybody is gifted in. And so you are to use those things in building one another up. And we're going to talk about that one week. And we love by giving. We're going to talk about giving, but probably not in the way that you'd expect. We're not going to talk about percentages, or we're not going to talk about tithing, and we're not going to, you know, lay a guilt trip on you to get you to give. Well, I don't know. We might do that. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that at all. We're going to simply talk about giving as a result of our love for Jesus and our love for His church. And then love by sharing. You know, the love that Jesus gives us so that we can show that love for one another and not keep it to ourselves. You know, the Bible never intended this love that we have for Jesus and this love that we have for one another. It never intended for us to hoard that, to keep that for ourselves, to keep it within the walls of the church. The love that we have for one another should spill out of this place into the streets. And we should be showing the community what the love of Jesus looks like. If we aren't sharing the love of God with our words and our deeds, then we're not truly being loving the way that God wants us to. We're going to talk about that as well. And so I invite you to stick with us for the next several weeks as we look at various ways that we can intentionally love the church, and we see what God is doing within the church and what He intends for this community of believers. And sharing is a part of that. I know we've talked about that a lot recently in sharing the gospel with one another, but I'll just be honest with you. This morning, I've had more conversations this morning about Andrew Luck than I have Jesus. We should be loving. That should be at the forefront of our, and it's not wrong to talk about those things, but man, sometimes they're just completely out of balance. You know? I'm bad about that sometimes. You know, instead of telling people how wonderful Jesus has been to me this week, I'm complaining that Andrew Luck retired. You know? It's like, come on, God has been so good to us. There's such bigger things than that. And we need to focus on those things and what God has intended for the church. And we need to be focused on people in our lives that don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you're here this morning and that's where you find yourself, you know, maybe some of you are sitting out there and you've had negative experiences in the church in the past. I just want to say, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. If it's something that was negative here, I'm sorry. If it's something that happened negatively that I wasn't even directly involved in, I'm sorry that you had to go through that. But understand, that is not what God intended the church to be. No, it's not what it's supposed to be like. There's two things that I want to challenge you with very quickly before we leave this morning. One is this: let people know that you love your church. That's what these t-shirts are all about. You know, it wasn't just so I could preach in a t-shirt, I promise you, because I'm not going to lie. I'm a little uncomfortable this morning preaching in a t-shirt. I thought it'd be like really cool. I'd be like really laid back and comfortable. It feels awkward, and it's not going to happen very, very often, right? The purpose of these is to wear these out in public so people can see that I love ECC. You know, this is really big. It's going to grab people's attention. And it's going to be a conversation starter where people say, oh, what exactly is ECCC? And it gives you an opportunity to tell them about your church and how you love the church. Because here's what happens. You guys have probably been here before. You wear a sports team shirt or a hat out in public. This happens to me all the time. I'll wear my Cubs shirt or something like that. I'm walking down the street. We'll be up at the outlet mall or something like that, and I see a guy with a Cubs hat on, and we'll look at each other and we'll go, sup, man? We gonna do it this year? Yeah, gotta get some pitching, you know. We know, you know. Nah, nah, nah. And so it starts this conversation because we have this experience together, or this love for our favorite sports team, or we go to a concert, you know, it's like, hey, you know, when did you go to that concert? And you know, you talk about those things. So whenever people see this shirt, it's going to be a great conversation starter, and you're going to be able to have the opportunity to just share with people, hey, here's what our church is all about. We're not perfect, you know, we're not. Nobody is. So we'd love to have you. Strangers you wouldn't normally talk to might say, well, what's that all about? You know? So think about that. Don't just think about that. Actually, pray about that. Pray about maybe ordering one of these shirts. You can see Kendall afterwards. He's going to be back there in the back. We've got sign-ups. You can order your shirts back there, and we'll get them into you very quickly. And pray for God to give you opportunities that when you wear your shirt, that he would put people in your life that would be inquisitive and give you the opportunities to speak out and say, well, why do you love your church? Tell me why you love ECCC. You know? I can't wait to hear some of the conversations that are going to happen that you share with us. So if you have those conversations, email me, let me know about those things, and we might even, who knows, get you on video and share your experience or stand up here and do that. That'd be great. And then I want to encourage you to get connected in some way in the church. We have been up and down. We're kind of like the stock market with our small group program. You know, we're like, hey, we're really good for running, and then we're by the end of this series, I really want to have our small groups that have already kind of been established to start back up. If you're not in one, I encourage you to seek one out and get involved in it. If some of the ones that we don't have right now fit your schedule or time, let's talk about starting one and just get you plugged in into a group where you can start doing life with people on a level that you haven't done before. There's certainly some opportunities even outside of small groups. Our fuel service that we were talking about, that'll be a smaller group of people as well on Wednesday nights. Our grounded service on Sunday night is a great opportunity. Bible study at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Get involved in one of those smaller groups of people because you're going to have incredible growth. You're going to have incredible connections because that's what happens when God's people come together. So I encourage you to do that and be excited about this journey. I'm excited that we're going to go through this together and talk about all the different ways that we can love the church. But as the worship team comes and we wrap up this morning, let me just remind you that God loves you so much in spite of the mistakes you've made, in spite of the sin that you've committed. And if you're out there this morning and you've never placed your faith, you've never confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you've never repented of your sins, and you've never been baptized for the washing away of your sins, we want to encourage you to do that. The water is in the baptistry. It's 92 degrees, so you know it's wonderful. It's great. I'm seriously considering getting Diet Coke holders put in the back so I can. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay, that's a joke. All right, the water's warm. Man, we can do it right now. Why wait? You know, that's what the Book of Acts 22. Ananias says to Paul, "Why wait? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord." If that's you this morning, why wait? Just do it. Maybe you're here and you're considering church membership this morning. We'd love for you to consider that as well. If you're an immersed believer in Jesus, we'd love to welcome you into this family who's learning to love one another more deeply and learning to love God more deeply. If you'd like to be a part of that, we'd love to have you. I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to pray and we're going to sing a song as